What role do you think Web 2.0 type of technology, such as blogs, podcasts, RSS, you know, will play in the future of the tipping point?
Well, I guess the question is whether they, to what extent can they, those kinds of second generation ways of reaching consumers be personal?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the issue isn't, I sort of think we overestimate the importance of being able to reach people more easily, and underestimate the importance of being able to form a kind of meaningful personal bond with someone. And to the extent that, particularly to use blogs as an example, I can get to know, I can feel like I know the person writing the blog mm-hmm. as I would know a friend.
Right.
And to the extent to which I feel like they are speaking to me individually, then I think that can be very, very powerful.
Interesting. Do you think that that goes a long way in accelerating the tipping point?
Yeah. I think the most powerful kind of social power is most effective when it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, to the extent they can form that kind of bond, then I think, yes, they can be really...
Right. So one of the other questions I wanted to ask you was, you know, in your book you cite the rule of 150, mm-hmm. right, as the maximum number of individuals with whom you can genuinely have an effective working relationship with, right? So when you look at 16,000 people actively producing on Wikipedia, you look at 250,000 people contributing to Slashdot, you look at 140,000 developers, you know, using Amazon tools and contributing to Linux. How has your view changed in light of, you know, these kinds of statistics?
Well, those are a different kind of community. So
true.
The rule of 150 is about intimate, physically proximate communities.
Okay.
So that's about an organization where I am working in close kind of physical proximity to other people.
Sure.
What we're talking about...
Like a military unit.
Yeah,
almost,
like a company where we're all in one place. What you're talking about are ways in which we have used technology to form sort of dispersed communities, physically dispersed communities.
Right.
And where I'm not required, I mean, the genius of Wikipedia is that I don't need to know the other people who are contributing to a particular item in order to work effectively with them, right?
Correct.
Nor do
correct.
I, when I'm doing open source software, I don't have to, I am contributing along with many others to a project, and we're all intimate with the project, but not intimate with each other. And that's something that is a sort of a specialized, wonderful case that's been invented by the new technology that we have. But I think of it as being very separate from, the rule of 150, which is really referring to kind of physically proximate communities.
Close proximity
yeah.
type of communities, absolutely. So in the afterword, you talked a little bit about developing immunity to traditional forms of communication, right? And that you need the maven to cure this particular cause, which I read as word of mouth marketing,
mm-hmm.
right? Which I think is fantastic. Obviously, I've devoted mm-hmm. my blog to mm-hmm. doing that kind of stuff. How has your view changed, if at all? In light of some of these new technologies. I mean, the speed of since you've written this, the speed of communication has only gotten greater.
Yeah,
and I believe will continue to get greater with things like Twitter and
yeah.
And other forms of mobile communication.
Yeah, it hasn't changed. I mean, you still have. You know, in telecom, we would always talk about, remember, the last mile problem.
Sure, the last
right?
mile.
There's still a last mile problem with marketing. So we're getting better and better and better and better at all of these various things, but we're still left with the last mile. And the last mile is this.
Yeah.
Right? And this, so none of these things, all of these things are improvements, but they don't solve the fundamental problem, which is, at the end of the day, I am most powerfully influenced by those who I love and respect. Love and respect and know, right?
Okay.
And that's the last mile. None of these technologies, no technology can solve that. At the end of the day, you have to be able, with your idea or your product, to make such an enduring impression on people with influence in their social circle that those people will be your ambassadors. That game has not changed and will remain, I think, that...
We'll
remain
constant.
As long as we have, no one, to use my own example, my brother is my computer maven. You can invent all the fancy technologies you want. At the end of the day, you've got to impress him, or you're never going to reach me. You can't, because everything goes through him.
Right.
And everyone, I think that's how, on the decisions that really matter, that last mile is always the same. It involves a relationship. There's no getting around that.
Sure. You see a lot of marketers now moving towards more contemporary trends like green, for example. Mm-hmm. And I think from, you know, having read The Tipping Point, that's kind of hit a tipping point in the last 18 months or so,
totally.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, Echo Imagination was ahead of its time, but, you know, now we're certainly in the face of that. What's your view on people sort of attaching to that current day, marketers attaching to that current day trend as a for good or marketing for good kind of a concept?
Well, as long as what they're doing it in good faith. As long as we're policing the meaning of that word, we're fine. It's got to stand for something. It can't just be, I can't call myself green without doing something. What worries me is that we don't have a standard. Mm-hmm. We went through this years ago in the food industry where everyone was calling what they were doing fresh.
Okay.
Finally, the FDA stepped in and said, look, if you want to call something fresh, it has to meet the following criterion.
Excellent.
And everybody jumped up and down and screamed, and then they settled down and realized, you know what, this is the best thing that ever happened for the consumer, because now I know what fresh means.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Fresh orange juice actually means it has never been frozen or reconstituted or, fresh and pure. They define all these words.
Sure.
Well, we need to define
green.
I'm not saying government has to do it, but as a collective, we need to define green. And so that if you're going to use that word, it has meaning.
Definitely.
And that's a, you know, talk about the role for bloggers and the kind of internet. That's a wonderful thing that we can do now. Collectively, with all of these new communications technologies, is that we can come to collective understandings of what those words mean.
Sure.
And we can also enforce these kinds of standards informally, and we can say, some website or some blogger or somebody with some social power can stand up and say, this person's calling themselves green. It's not green.
Right.
And here's why.
Right.
And so that that makes me profoundly hopeful about our ability to kind of. To sort of meaningfully have change in this area.
Right, which brings me to an area that I like to call reputational risk, if you will, right, where, now with all of these forms of communication, if you are to sort of foul up, you're going to get linked to, and the bloggers are going to crucify you, and that is going to appear under your name anybody's name when they type it in to Google, as people will be doing, as people already currently do.
Yeah.
So which becomes sort of a reputation management system unto itself, Google, as opposed to a search engine. Any thoughts on, the dangers there or the, the pitfalls on
I like it. I mean, to me, as a kind of unreconstructed liberal, centralized formal regulation is in retreat for a number of reasons.
Okay.
Some of them good, some of them, I think, not so good. What we're doing, and that has created a kind of gap in the marketplace, where, if the SEC isn't going to properly enforce its rules, then who is? There's a reason for these rules. Well, I mean, I would hope that we could replace formal regulation with something that perhaps might be more flexible, more sensitive to the marketplace, and ultimately more effective, which is this kind of informal. We're talking about regulation, right? We're talking about the Better Business Bureau, right? We're talking about all those kinds of notions that we have, that there has to be some mechanism in the market that informs consumers about the activities and performance and reputation of, and it's not enough just to ask us to do it on our own, because we can't. We need help, right? And if government's not going to do it, someone else has got to do it. But someone has to do it, and I don't believe in the position of some conservatives that it just magically happens. It doesn't magically happen. It happens because institutions step up. And this is an institute, it's odd to call, the blogosphere or whatever institute, but it is. It's an institution. It's an incredibly powerful and effective one. Might be the best one we've come up with. So I love the idea of these guys. And I'm willing to, it's not always going to work, but I feel there's a better capacity for self-correction in the blogosphere than there is in any other kind of more formal institutional regulation.
Fantastic. I'd love you to talk a little bit, like you did at lunch, about your coming book. I'd like to put that out as well on, on my blog as well. So it's can you give us a little taste of what's coming
it's
there?
It's a book about, I don't want to talk too much about it, but it's coming out in about a year and a half.
Okay.
And and it's a book about exceptional performers, high achievers.
Great.
How they got that way, how to understand their success, what can we learn from them. It just explores a series of success stories, in, either by individuals or groups, and says and tries to extract lessons.
Right. Any advice for marketers that are in current day roles? What should we be thinking, innovating, doing, not doing?
Just, I mean, look, if anything, if the last 5 years has taught us anything, it is that it is foolish to try and make predictions about what's coming next year. Like, you know, I mean, things are happening so quickly and from such so complexly that it's, I mean, all we can do is react. I think the best people are those who, you know, I read today in the paper about Time Warner, Warner Music doing a kind of free download site for some of their music.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, you know, it's, we have been arguing and dealing with this issue
for years.
We still haven't worked it out. I mean, what good is it, would it have been for me in 1996 to say we have a free music problem coming up, right? It's pointless. I mean, it's just a problem that's so complicated and changes every day that the issue is not predicting it. The issue is being able to handle it, you know, after it's already appeared on the horizon. So
right, which I think is one of the challenges for marketers today. There's so many new techniques and tactics that could be deployed in an integrated sense that people don't know just where to start.
Yeah.
And luckily, that's what we're helping to try to bring out for some people.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Again, thank you very much.
Good. Thanks
Appreciate
so much.
The time.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.